Good morning, everyone. I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the name that is above all names, as Henry already mentioned it, this name that is above all names and the name that is worthy to be lifted up, and the name that we have salvation. I want to greet you with Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. It talks about this name of Jesus, where Peter preaches to the crowd and he talks about salvation in this name. He says, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." There is no salvation in any other. And if we come together this morning in the name of Jesus, there is no greater name than this name. This name is the name above all name. It is the name of the person that has the authority over this earth and over heaven. He has all the authority. In the name of this Jesus, I greet you. Let's imagine for one moment not having Jesus, not having salvation. What would it be like if the word Jesus Christ didn't exist? That would be a fearful thing for us. We would be in a constant fear, having no salvation, having no hope for something better. We would not even have this, what we have today. The reason we are here today is because of Jesus. The Jesus that died on the cross. And the name of this Jesus Christ, I greet you. May His peace be with you. He wants you to have His peace. He said, "My peace I leave to you." Today, we're going to continue on in 1 John chapter 2. We're going to go through the chapter if we have enough time. We're going to read verse 15 through the chapter, and then we're going to split it up a little bit. Let's read 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15 and on. It says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard, that the Antichrist is coming. Even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be manifest that none of them were of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist, who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Therefore, let that abide in you which you've heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in His Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that He has promised us, eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning those who tried to deceive you. But the anointing which you have received from Him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in Him. And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. If you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of Him." First, we see the first three verses 15 through 17, where he basically continues with what he's said throughout chapter 1 and chapter 2, where he talks about do not love the darkness, or that light cannot walk with darkness. And here he talks about that we should not love the world or the lust of the world. And the first thing that I wanted to lift up here is what we saw last Sunday, is that there is a reason for the greatest commandment. God wants us to love him the first. He should be our first love and not his creation. The creation many times gets more honor than the creator. And that is what John tells us here. Do not love the world. More, do I think, he talks about the world that lives within us, the world that God created was a perfect world, was without sin. Yes, it has a curse upon it, but there was a world created in humanity that had has this desire that he talks about, the desire of the flesh, of the eyes, and the pride of life. This is within us, and we'll look at that a little bit. We're going to look at this a little bit more to the heart problem. There's a heart problem. But before that, I wanted to lift up that not if this tells us not to love the world, doesn't mean that we should not love the people of this world. God clearly commands us to love everyone, even our enemies, even those that persecute us, those that spitefully use us. All the people we should love, even if we don't love what they do, or if we don't appreciate what they do. We don't have to love what they do or appreciate that. But them in themselves, we should love, because God has commanded that. They are, too, created in the image of our Almighty God. From the beginning, let's take a moment to talk about the earth that we're standing on. God created this earth, and he said it was good. And what is amazing to me is God spoke and the world came into existence. The mighty power of our mighty God. He spoke and then the world just came into existence. And he said it was good. It was good, God, because it came from God's existence. This world, this earth was designed for the people to enjoy it. But then this terrible disease came in with sin, sin. And so it was created without sin, and that's when God looked upon it and said it was good, until sin came. So God created a good world, a good creation. God spoke this into existence. This was big to me. You go back to Genesis and you read how God said, let there be earth, and it was right there. But then this terrible sin came into the world, not because God had made something that was not right, but because two people decided to listen to a voice that we hear today. Has God really said? This voice is still among us. This voice has deceived the world. This voice has torn up the whole world. It's brought the sin, it's brought disease, it's brought death. Death, Paul tells the Romans that the wages of sin is death. And that sin came in there, and the wages of that is sin. The reward for that. The problem because of sin is the problem that God cursed this earth that we were standing on. But the problem more... The problem we want to talk about more today is in our hearts, in our ears. This world is between our ears, where we listen to this voice that Adam and Eve listened to. And that's where this came in, the love for the world, the love of the flesh, love of the eyes, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the pride of the life. So let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9. And this is how God looks at the heart of people that are not of His. Chapter 17 and verse 9, he says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" And this is the heart where John talks about, where it has the lust of the flesh. And if God looks at that heart that was stolen away or that was deceived in the Garden of Eden, he says, "The heart is deceitful above all things." Many times we seem to want to blame other things because we do things. This and this deceived us. But God looks at the heart and he says, "The heart is deceitful above all things." This is the heart. This is how God looks at the heart of the people that are not of His. And he says that the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? This is God saying this. How bad must this heart be? Jesus talks about the same thing in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 34, where he talks to the Pharisees too and to the crowd. And then these people, they want to say good words. And then Jesus says, How can you do good if you are evil? For do you not know that out of your heart comes what the mouth talks of? In the heart are the bad things. And again, Jesus says, these people were saying good things, were doing good. But Jesus said, that is bad because your heart is bad. Even if you do good, if your heart is this wicked, desperately wicked heart, nothing good can come out of that heart. Romans chapter 14, 2 tells us that everything that is not done in faith is sin. And that is because the heart is the problem. This heart that is evil, no word can be good if the heart is evil, if the heart is so desperately wicked. The normal heart has the desire of the fleshly lust. This because it is a wicked heart. It is deceitful above all things. Because of the heart, we are born into this world with a wicked heart. David says it in Psalm chapter 51, verse 5. That's where he says that he was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. This is the heart problem. Not because you were raised up in a Christian home or we are better than another person makes us any better. All of us have come short of the glory of God. Let's go back to 1 John chapter 2. Love the Creator more than you love the creation. I think if we think about let's say an artwork done by someone. Some of these youth boys have a very good gift to do some good artwork. But if you see a picture done by someone, and it is a picture you cannot say that there is one thing wrong about this picture. Or let's say something else, anything that is made, done by someone. Sooner or later, you have the question, who did this? And the Bible says the creation testifies that there is a creator. Once our heart is deceived, it wants to worship the creation more than the creator. And that is the point here. Do not love the creation more than the creator. There is a reason. Again, there is a reason for that first and greatest commandment that God has given us, that we should love God with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul. God is our first love. We find in the Gospel of John in chapter 1 and verse 10 and 11. Let's go ahead and read that. Let's just imagine for a couple of moments where God had created this world. He did the creation. The Creator created the creation. And now He sends His Son, which we find in verse 10. He says, He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, and the world did not know Him. The world was made through Jesus, and now Jesus came into this world, and the world didn't know Him. He came to His own, and His own did not receive Him, because they had this wicked heart, because the heart that is deceived and that has this desire of the fleshly desire. All the people are made through Him, and they did not receive Him. They love the world more than they love God. And He goes on with that thought. He says, if anyone loves the world, the love of God is not in him. If we love the world, the love of God is not in us. If we love the creation more than the Creator, the love of the Creator cannot be in us. Same as He says in chapter 1, if we walk in darkness, but we say we have fellowship with Him, we deceive ourselves. The lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life that He mentions here is something that is, in our day, Christians start to call freedom. Freedom in Christ is all of this because we are free in Christ. And Paul tells us in Galatians 5 and verse 13 that we are not to use our freedom in Christ to do the will of the flesh. And here it talks about that same will, the will of the flesh. This can happen to believers. This can happen to those that are in Christ, that they will use that freedom in Christ to do the will of the flesh. What do you and I call freedom? What do you and I call the world? Is that all kinds of things that we don't do, or is that within us? Let's turn to James chapter 4 and verse 4, where James talks about being an enemy of God. He says, adulterous and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with this world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be friends of this world makes himself an enemy of God. Being an enemy of God is friendship with this world. Having friendship with the lust of this world is being an enemy of God. We've looked a little bit at how we have this heart problem and how we are deceived by our own hearts, that we have a wicked heart, and that our own heart desires after earthly lusts, after fleshly lusts, and the lust of the eyes, and so on goes the lust. That is just a couple of thoughts lifted up. We can go to Galatians chapter 5. We won't turn there. But there's a list of things that is the fruit of the world. That all goes into this. But now let's turn to Romans chapter 12, where Paul tells us a solution for this. I guess I could say it's a living sacrifice to God. Let's read verse 1 and 2. Here he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is of good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Here Paul starts off with saying, I beseech you therefore, brethren. To those that he called brethren, he beseeches them. He tells them, that by the mercies of God, what if me and you, what if we didn't have mercy? What if God didn't grant us this mercy? Then we would not have this verse here. The moment that we needed mercy, God gave us mercy. The same thing as I started off with Acts chapter 4. If we didn't have salvation, if we wouldn't have mercy, we wouldn't have salvation. Way before you and I existed, God had mercy with us. That is love, that he went to the cross to give us mercy. And now he says, by that mercy, that we present our bodies and a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. That we bring our lives, our entire lives, to the altar of God. That we present our lives to God as a living sacrifice. He says, this is your reasonable service. This is the only reasonable service that we can do. Once we've experienced the mercy, we can bring our life to God. And he can transform that. That we don't have to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. That where John speaks of, that we don't have to love the world or all of this lust that comes with the world, but that we can be transformed by the mercies of God, and that we can be a temple for the Holy Spirit. In Ezekiel chapter 36 and 26, we won't turn there, but that's where God says that where God gives the promise that he is going to give us a new heart, because he sees the heart as it is wicked and deceitful above all things. I hope we all have this new heart that God says. He says, I will give you a new heart and a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. A heart that will have a desire after him. That will have a desire to love our God. And he says those in verse 17, the last part of verse 17, in chapter 2 and verse 1 John, where he says, but he who does the will of God abides forever. He will abide forever, he who does the will of God. He who has this new heart, he who has given his life as a living sacrifice on the altar of God. Have we done that? Or do we still lust after these earthly lusts? Our eyes, do they still have the lust of the eyes, and do we still have the pride of our own life? Or do we acknowledge that our life is in Jesus? That our life is in the Creator, and that we don't love the creation as we love the Creator. We'll take just a little moment to talk about the deception of the last hour that he talks about. And nearly 1900 years ago, he said this, John said this, that it was the last hour. And if he says that it's the last hour, he refers to saying by that the Antichrist has come. It will come. And he says, by now there is already many antichrists. And that is those people that have left them, that it may be manifest that they were not of us. And then he goes on and says, he who is against the Son is against the Father. He who doesn't acknowledge the Son has not the Father. He who lies that the Son, that Jesus is the Christ, is the Antichrist. The Bible talks about another Antichrist in Revelations, but here he talks about anybody that is against Christ, that is against Jesus Christ, is an Antichrist. How many of those Antichrists do you and I know? Maybe we should ask the question personally, do we have any Antichrist in us? Are we offended by any teachings of Jesus? Are we offended by Jesus sometimes? These people that John talks about were offended by this light that came into the darkness. And it was revealed that their deeds were evil, and they didn't like that light, and they rejected that. He also talks about the anointing. We're going to spend a little bit more time on that. In verse 20 and verse 27, he talks about that there is an anointing. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. And then in verse 27, he says, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. Here he talks about an anointing, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And not everyone in this world, maybe not in this room, has this anointing. This anointing of the Holy Spirit, where we're baptized with the Holy Spirit. Children that are born in a Christian home are not Christians. Just because they're born in a Christian home, they don't have this anointing automatically. This comes by asking God for it. And so here he goes on and says that we have an anointing. What is this anointing? And I'll just list a couple of things. And there's a lot of things. If we would have just taken this topic, there would be a long list of this anointing. And simple, it is the Holy Spirit that is with us, but it is described in many various ways. It is when we have been baptized with the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist said, I baptize you with water, but he who comes after me will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And that is when we receive that, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, when we received this new heart of God, then we are anointed of him. It's when we receive the helper that abides in us forever. And that we find in John chapter 14 and 16, where Jesus says that he will pray the Father, that he will send another helper that will abide in us forever. So if you have this anointing, if you have the Holy Spirit in you, the Bible says it will abide in you forever. It is when we have the seal on our hearts, when we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 2 verse 13 states that we have been sealed by the Holy Spirit. It is when we have that stamp on our heart. I think all of you are familiar, if you go into the store, maybe a business, and then you buy something, you pay it, and then they give you an invoice. And usually it is stamped with a red stamp, and it says paid. If you have that stamp on your heart that it says paid with the blood of Jesus, you have that anointing. That red stamp that we need. Just as in Egypt, when the Israelites were there and the 10th plague came, those that had the blood on the doors, this angel passed over and did not strike the firstborn. So you and I, if we have the blood of Jesus, we have it on the doors of our hearts, and death cannot strike us. Do you have this stamp on the door of your heart, that you have been paid and you have accepted this gift of God, the forgiveness of Jesus that has been stamped with the Holy Spirit? And two, it is when we are certain that we are children of God. When the Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. We find that in Romans 8:16, where Paul says that his Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. When your body is a temple for the Holy Spirit, when you've laid your body, you've given yourself to God as a living sacrifice, an acceptable service, with as your reasonable service to God, then you become this temple for the Holy Spirit, and you've been bought for a price that Jesus has paid. We find that in 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. When the Spirit leads us in all truth. Jesus said it in John chapter 16 and 13. Henry already lifted that up. That we are led by the Spirit. The Spirit of truth is the anointing that is upon us. The anointing that God has given His law in our minds and in our heart. He said, this is the promise He gave. I will write my law in their minds and in their heart. Do you have this anointing the Bible talks about? Do you want this anointing? Do you want this Spirit in your life? In closing, the last two verses and he says, and now, little children, abide in Him that when He appears we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. If we know that He is righteous, you know that anyone who practices righteousness is born of Him. The word here, abides in Him, the word abide also stands for obey. Now, let's refer back to verse 15 through 17 where he says, do not love the world or the things of the world. Here he says, abide in Him or obey Him till He comes. He says that we may have confidence when He comes in the clouds. Do you and I have confidence when He comes? Or would we be ashamed when we see our Lord come in the clouds? What would we be? Would we have confidence or would we be ashamed? We would surely be ashamed if we still have lust for this world, for the lust of the flesh, and so on. Do you love God more than sin? Do you love this world more than you love God? He says that in verse 29, if we know that He is righteous, and I think everyone in this world, in this room knows that Jesus is righteous. Maybe not the little children, but all of the adults know that Jesus is righteous. God is righteous. And He says, everyone who practices this righteousness is born of Him. Do you have this anointing of the Holy Spirit? May God bless His word. Let's stand for a word of prayer.